10 o'clock sharp. It's time to get started. I appreciate you being here at Tabernacle Baptist Auditorium class. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. We thank God for our church and thank God for the things that's going on. In just a moment, we're going to have some prayer needs. We got still people sick, some people in the hospital. I didn't realize that Larry Compton had been in the hospital. I don't know if we missed it or what, but Sally was telling me this morning that he's been in there. You know, he had a bad cough for like 3 or 4 weeks, and he got into pneumonia. So Larry is in the hospital, but he's supposed to come home, Sally said, about tomorrow or Tuesday. So pray for him. All right. If you'll take your bulletins, we're going to go over just a few announcements. Ray and Sally is prayer chain captains this week, so don't forget, if you have a prayer need, please call the prayer chain. Just a few announcements in the middle of the bulletin there. Training teachers workshop, I wish I could go to that. I have to work every Saturday, but that's going to be a blessing to the teachers from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on April the 6th. Don't forget that. April 13th and April 27th, the Saturday outreach. We can thank God for those. Now, April 28th is Friend Day, and that's also when our revival starts, our spring revival, so keep praying for that. And the men that are coming, I don't think I've ever heard them preach. The pastor knows these men, Matt Franklin and Steve Cox. These two men will be preaching for us, so pray for them for this upcoming revival. The new Instagram page, don't forget that. Team Camp. I want to read you something on the back of the bulletin. I love this. It says, Easter is forever. I ran across a tract the other day entitled, Easter Lasts Forever. Easter lasts forever. Isn't that what we believe? Thank you, Brother Buck. Appreciate you. It says here, this life is not always pleasant. In fact, it can deal us some harsh blows. Death, loss of a job, divorce, war, rejection, financial difficulties, and the list goes on until it seems like Good Friday every day. My God, why have you forsaken me? But the believer in Christ looks forward. Yes, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. This is our eternal hope. The world may seem to be falling apart, but Jesus still reigns. His resurrection proves that he has conquered sin, death, and the devil. It guarantees that those who have died in faith will be raised and will live forever with Jesus and all the believers in heaven. When that is considered, all of our problems of this world pale in comparison to the glory to come. Yes, Easter lasts forever. And I appreciate that in the bulletin. Okay, we're going to have some prayer needs this morning. Who has a prayer need this morning? Miss Phyllis? All right. Now, are those tests this coming week or? Oh, my. Okay, gotcha. All right. Also pray for Robert. Yes, Brother James. Mm-hmm. His name is Taryn Torin. Gotcha. Pray for this grandson of James and his son, James Jr. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request? I want you to pray for Sandy. I was telling Richard earlier, she was just so upset this morning that she couldn't come on Easter Sunday. A couple of weeks ago, she had a UTI and yeast infection. She's got all that stuff back again. Her fibro's killing her. She just can't win for losing. So pray for her that God will strengthen her today and give her encouragement. Stephanie Stevens, my niece, which is my twin brother's daughter, it's just a miracle what she's been through. She's had those three heart surgeries in 4 weeks' time, and the doctors are saying that she may be able to come home tomorrow, Tuesday. So we're just praising God that everything went well. She's very, of course, very tired, very sore, but we just pray that the recovery will be well and that God will watch her as she comes home and recovers from these surgeries. I want you to pray. On Wednesday night, a couple of weeks ago, we had put my twin brother's grandson, Daniel, on the prayer chain. He just needs your prayers. He's just hit rock bottom, to be honest with you. He don't want to listen to anybody as far as God and the Bible. I think that it's going to take a miracle to get him back to the Lord. So we just need to pray for Daniel. Be with Ray and Sally. They'd love to be here. Hubert and Margie usually come to 11 o'clock worship. Now, Ron and Joan, please pray for them. Joan would love to be here. They're both having health issues. Sandy's stepfather, Bill, his son, James Griffith, is in the hospital. It's just not looking good at all. He's got so many complications. Please pray for James Griffith. And Grace Sexton has been on our prayer chain, and she had a hernia surgery this past Friday, and she's doing well, so pray for her. And pray for her daughter and a neighbor. I don't know exactly what happened, but a dog attacked them about a week ago on their property. And the oldest daughter, I guess she's about eight, she's got some severe wounds because of this dog bite. And I don't know what all's going to expire, but it's just an awful thing. And pray that situation gets handled, and just pray for Grace's daughter and a friend in the neighborhood. Betty Collier, she's doing okay with her fall. Brother, all right, pray for Betty, that God will give her strength. Don't forget to pray for Larry Compton, as he hopes to get home tomorrow the next day. Buck's granddaughter, pray for Kaylee. Wade Eldorf had surgery this past week. I think they put something in his ear where he could hear better, and they said the surgery went well and everything went great, so pray for him. And then Cleo, Susie's oldest sister, is in a rehab, so pray for her. A lot to pray about this morning. We thank God for answered prayer, thanking for this Easter Sunday. What a special Sunday it is. We praise Him for Easter and what it means to us as believers. All right, anybody else have a prayer need? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer if we could this morning. Father, we love You and thank You, Father, for the opportunity to be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. We thank You for what our church stands for, and especially this morning, Father, we thank You for this Easter Sunday, what it means to us as believers. We thank You for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Thank You for this special Sunday. We pray that today will be a special day, that may the Holy Spirit be powerful not only in our Sunday school classes, but also in the worship hour. And we pray that You've given our pastor the message that we need to hear today. Thank You for these folks that's come here. Father, we have so many to pray about. Father, please be with Sandy. Touch her body. Others are sick here. Father, be with Grace. She's had this hernia surgery on Friday. Be with Betty Collier. She's recovering from a fall. Be with Brother Larry Compton as he's in the hospital. And Father, we pray that You'll touch his body and he'll be able to come home in a couple of days. Be with Candy and Charity, our daughters. Please, Lord, just bring them back to the fold. We love them. Just bring them back to serving You. Pray for Buck's granddaughter, Kaylee, that You'll be with her. Bring her back to the fold. We pray for Ray and Sally, Hubert and Margie, Ron and Joan. They'd love to be here. Pray for Joe Robinette. He's doing well. Thank You for that. Be with Tina Trout. She's had some tests done, and she's going to have more, Father. Just pray that You'll be in the midst of that. And, Father, we thank You for my niece, Stephanie. What a miracle that You've performed in her life, Father, to get through three heart surgeries in a month's time. Father, we pray that she'll be able to come home this coming week, and that You'll protect her and her recovery. Father, that You'll touch her body. Be with James Jr. as he's in California. Touch him. Be with his grandson, Torin. Father, that You'll touch his body. Thank You that Wade Elford got good news today. Be with Cleo. Be with her as she's in rehab, Father. So many people that we've prayed for, we've probably left some out, but You know who they are, Father, and I pray that You'll be in the midst. Thank You for a church that believes in prayer. And, Father, we praise You, Father, for answered prayer. Thank You for this Sunday. And, Father, today would be a great day for anyone who comes into our service that's lost, that they would accept Christ as their personal Savior today on this Easter Sunday. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to try to bring a little bit different kind of message this morning. We know the Easter message never gets old, but we know what Easter means to us. Easter is a wonderful celebration for us believers. It's a meaningful celebration. It's got fulfillment. It's a celebration. It's a praise for our Lord and Savior. When we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, it just gets us excited because He's the one that changed our life. He's the one that died for all mankind and shed His blood for us. And that resurrection was a special, special day, because on that third day of His burial was a special time. It has been said that this was the greatest event in history, and I wouldn't doubt that at all. We know it was the greatest event in history, and we can definitely read about it in the New Testament. And this praise and celebration should always be a part of our Christian life. And you know that we read something in the bulletin a while ago about Easter being every day of the year. It could be for us believers, because we love what Christ did for us, and He shed His blood for us. And on Easter Sunday, it was a special day. When He rose again, went back to the Heavenly Father, we as Christians have eternal life. Eternal life forever. However, for the lost person, Easter may only mean simple things like Easter egg hunting, eating candy, nothing wrong with these things, but if they've not been saved by the blood, they don't really understand what Easter is. But it's a special time. Easter is a special time for us. Every day for the believer, we should be praising Him for that death, burial, and resurrection. For Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because it changed our life. If we've accepted Him as our personal Savior, it's changed our life. It's just changed our love for others. It's changed our attitude, and it's changed our look on the future. I want to read you just a couple of things here before we get into the lesson. It says Easter can be all these things. It says Easter is a time to renew our spirit. Easter is a time to renew our salvation. Easter is a time to renew our love for other Christians. Easter can be a time to renew our commitment to keep God's word in our heart. Easter can be a time to renew our victory over the world. Easter can renew our witness of God, and Easter can renew our hope of eternal life. What a glorious, glorious thing that is for us to think about. I want us to turn to the book of John. We can go probably to any of the Gospels, but the book of John, chapter 19. I want to read just a few verses here about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and crucifixion. John 19, for time's sake, let's start with verse 31 and read through verse 42. John 19, 31, it says, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and the break of the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that it was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that the saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they've pierced." Verse 38, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, but 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wounded it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein with never man yet laid. And then verse 42, there laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day for the sculpture, for the sepulchre was nigh on hand." During the death and burial resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we think about it, it was a time of emptiness. Emptiness for those who loved Christ. Have you ever thought about that? Those that had to picture the crucifixion of Christ, all those people that were around, they felt empty. because of what was happening. Even though it was the Father's will for Christ to go to the cross and die for us, they felt empty. Their hearts were empty and saddened. And that's where we want to go today. I want to give you four biblical facts concerning what was empty during this major event. We're going to look at four different things. And I think this will really give us a good picture. Number one, I believe the first empty picture that we see is the Lord's Supper, the emptiness of the Lord's Supper. Have you ever thought about what happened at the Lord's Supper? Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. I looked up that word betray. A Bible definition, it says to be a traitor against one's master, to be disloyal, or to deceive. That's exactly what Judas Iscariot did. The people around were saddened, but the emptiness at the Lord's Supper, the other 11 disciples, they were kind of amazed what was going on. But when they found out it was Judas Iscariot who betrayed him, they just had all kinds of feelings, all kinds of emptiness, and their heart was not what it should have been. The other 11 disciples that were dedicated as faithful men were chosen to be Christ's disciples. This was a shock to some of them, and we can look at that today. If we are not faithful and not dedicated to His Word, we too will fall into that empty state. We have to stay in His Word. We have to know that God's Word is true. And if we stay out of the Word a long period of time, if we stay out of church a long period of time, we'll feel an emptiness, especially if we've been saved and born again. So the Lord's Supper did have an emptiness to it. And I believe that we can learn from that. We can learn from the Lord's Supper. We never want to betray our Lord and Savior. So many people have dropped out of serving God. Some of them have served Him for, who knows, 10, 20 25 years and dropped out of church, no longer serving Christ. I hope that we'll always stay with the stuff, so to speak. I heard an old preacher once say, staying with the stuff. We need to fall in love with His Word, whether it's through good times or bad times. And I hope that we'll do that. But I want to go over to Matthew. Matthew's got some verses in it here. I want to read in chapter number 26. You see, all four Gospels talk about the crucifixion of our Lord, but Matthew 26, starting with verse 17. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto Him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And He said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, He sat down with His 12. And as they did eat, He said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Jesus already knew it was going to happen. "And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man he had not even been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples." What an empty picture that we have here, not only for the other 11 disciples, but for the empty picture that we see at the Lord's Supper. Look at number two. What about that emptiness in the garden? Have you ever thought about the emptiness that happened in the garden? Jesus' heart was empty. His soul was sorrowful. He chose the Garden of Gethsemane to go pray, for it's not only with His Heavenly Father, but to pray for His disciples. And as He was approaching His sacrificial death, He poured out His heart to His Heavenly Father. Not as I will, but as Thou wilt. He wanted so much the will of His Father to be carried out. And Jesus' heart was empty there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was more than willing to go to the garden. He was more than willing to go to the garden and pray to carry out the Heavenly Father's will. Even though he knew it was going to be a great sacrifice for him to die on the cross, he wanted to do it for all mankind. The sacrifice would cost him his life for each and every one of us. But as believers, we're willing to proclaim the name of Jesus in our own personal life. In a lost and dying world, Jesus knew that he would be going to the cross to die for every single person and pay the sin debt that we didn't have to pay. You see, we too can choose a place of prayer and pour out our heart to the Lord. Jesus chose the Garden of Gethsemane, but there were times when he was in that garden that he felt empty, even though he poured his heart out to the Heavenly Father. He felt empty, and he prayed for his disciples. In Matthew 27, just a few verses I want to read you that goes along with this. Matthew 27, verses 33 through 37. It says, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, and it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is the Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" And then skipping to verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man calleth Elias.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' And then verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." I can't imagine what a picture that was, where Lord and Savior, what he had to go through going to the cross and dying for each and every one of us. But it gets better. Look at number 3. What about that empty cross? Have you ever thought about the empty cross? You see, after all the pain, the agony, the torture, the scorning that Jesus went through and carried out for the Heavenly Father, for the believer, the empty cross is exciting news. Jesus had an event to display to the world. He knew what pain and agony and suffering that he would go through, but he wanted to follow his Heavenly Father's will and go through all that torture, sacrifice for each and every one of us. It was an empty cross for a short time. For the believer, the empty cross is exciting news and a wonderful event in history, because we as believers know the reason why he did it. He was taken down off the cross, but more importantly, Christ went through all that pain and agony and torture for each and every one of us. For me and you, he paid the sacrifice for our sin debt. Can you imagine what he went through for us, the shed blood, the death on the cross? That cross was empty for a while, but not for long. Jesus knew that he was going to be on that cross. He was going to have to go through that pain and suffering and agony. Furthermore, because of his shed blood and death on the cross, we can accept him even today as our Lord and Savior and our personal Savior for our own life. If you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I can't think of a better day to accept him as your Savior. He can change your life. We've got many examples here in the auditorium class in our church that Christ has changed their life. He's the only one that can change a life. You know, we can pray for others. We can let them know that we care about them. We can be an example to them, but we can't change lives. We can't change hearts. but we know one who can. So that cross was empty for a while, but praise God, it wasn't empty for long. Christ shed his blood for each and every one of us. What about number four? This is probably the most exciting. What about that empty tomb? That empty tomb that we read about in the scriptures. To their amazement, when the stone was rolled away, guess what? The body of Jesus was gone. This is a miracle in itself. This is all the Heavenly Father's plan, because the Heavenly Father's will was carried out. You see, when that earthquake hit, the Roman soldiers couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop what was going on. They couldn't stop the stone. They were there to make sure that the stone was secure and never be moved. But boy, were they out for a surprise. Now, we know that Pilate could have put 100 men to guard the tomb. He could have, but it wouldn't have mattered. Wouldn't have mattered if you have 2 soldiers or 100 soldiers. This was God's Heavenly Father's plan, that Christ would raise from the tomb and go up with his Heavenly Father. This is probably the most exciting event that ever happened in history. Talking about the empty tomb. You see, for the believer, it's a cleansed heart. It's forgiveness for our sins. It's a changed life. And most of all, it's eternal life for each and every one of us when our life is over here on earth. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 27, but I want to read, starting with verse 57. I want to read this to you so we'll get a better picture. It says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. In verse 66, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. Now I want to read the first 7 verses of chapter 28. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I knew that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And then verse number 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall he see him, lo, I have told you. We do celebrate that special day today on Easter. And when we think of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it should be an exciting day. And as we read earlier from the bulletin, you know, for us believers, Easter could probably be every day for us Christians, because we should be excited about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. He's the one that changed our life. We accepted him as our Savior. He's the one that goes with us every single day when we go through a bad day, go through a good day. And the ones of us that have accepted him as our personal Savior, we have a home waiting for us in heaven. That eternal life should mean a lot to us. That should be enough for a lost person, you would think, to make that decision for Christ. I don't think anybody wants to go to hell when their life is over. And all we have to do is accept Him as our personal Savior, to accept the sacrificial death that our Christ did on the cross. He shed His blood for all mankind. If we believe that, He'll change our life. If we accept that in our heart, we can have eternal life. I look at people from this church that have gone on before us. They left behind such a wonderful testimony. I could spend an hour talking about some folks that we miss. But their life was a testimony for the Lord Jesus. And when their life was over here on earth, they are in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Eternal life is, it's real. You know, you talk to some people that are lost, they really don't want to talk about it. Some of them don't. Some of them don't even believe in it. But we know as God's people that eternal life is going to be a place that we're going to see our loved ones. Each one of us in here has got loved ones that's went on before us. And I look at time, how time flies by. It's just unbelievable how time flies by. Some of us have parents have gone on before us. Some have spouses, some have children, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, cousins. We can go on and on. I could stand up here and tell you the testimony of people in my family that's gone on. And I know you could too. But because of what we've talked about today on Easter Sunday, because of what we've talked about the emptiness at the Lord's Supper, we've talked about the emptiness at the garden, we've talked about the emptiness at the cross, and we've talked about the emptiness of the tomb. What a marvelous picture that we have of our Lord and Savior, especially the empty tomb that we've talked about. When that miraculous event happened, it changed history forever. When our Christ went up into glory with our Heavenly Father, it changed the world completely. Now we have a choice to make, each and every one of us. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you can be assured that not only is your life been changed, but when our life is over here on earth, we're going to have eternal life. It's not my opinion, it's what the Word says. It's what the Bible says. I can look at people in our church right now. I can, and some of you and some of the people in the Sunday school classes, we've got several people that's up in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that's lived a life for the Lord. Years of service at the church. When their life is over, that's what's going to count. For any of us, for that matter. What was our life like? It's not going to matter when we're gone and our soul goes to heaven. It's not going to matter what house we live in or what car we drive, what clothes we wear. It ain't going to matter. That's going to somebody else anyway. We can't take it with us. You've heard the old expression, we can't take a U-Haul with us behind the hearse. We can't take anything with us. What's going to be the most important thing in our life if we've accepted Him as our Savior? That's going to be the most important thing. Have you done that this morning? I hope that we have. I hope that we'll take this lesson and we'll look at the emptiness that Christ went through, the emptiness that the disciples went through. What about the emptiness of the people that were around the cross? Can you imagine being there that day when our Lord was crucified? I can't imagine what was going through the people's minds, the emptiness that they felt in their heart. But we can take this lesson and know that Easter is a special holiday. It's not just like any other Sunday. We can celebrate Easter every Sunday if we want to. But today was designated as Easter Sunday. And I hope that people will look at it as a special day in our life, what Christ did for us. Now, every Sunday is special here at Tabernacle. We hear the preached word. We get to hear the Sunday school message. We get to sing the songs of Zion. It's always a special Sunday, but on Easter Sunday, we want to kind of relive what happened on that resurrection day. The crucifixion that led into that resurrection day, it means a lot to us. It should. If we look at it today, we know that cross has a lot to do with our salvation. What about the songs that's been written about the cross? I could stand up here for 30 minutes and tell you the songs that have been written about the cross. Songs that have been written about the blood in our hymn book. Gospel songs that's been written about the blood of Jesus. He shed that blood for me and you, and that blood on the cross. He shed it for each and every one of us. And when we realize the pain, the agony, and the torture that he went through, he did it all for all mankind. So I hope this Easter Sunday will be a special Sunday for all of us. I hope that the Holy Spirit will be powerful in our worship hour. And we possibly could have visitors today. You know, Easter Sunday usually brings in some visitors that maybe they haven't been in church for a while. Never know. Most churches have some visitors on Easter Sunday. So we want to make sure that we welcome any visitors that come in. We want to make sure that we're here to worship in spirit and truth, and that the Holy Spirit is powerful, because that's what it's all about, is seeing lives changed and souls saved. That's just what it's all about. So pray for any visitors that come into our worship hour, that God will touch their heart and convict their soul that they need the Savior. All right. Anybody else have anything to add to the lesson this morning? Don't forget to, I hope you wrote some of those prayer requests down. I have to write them down, because when Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday comes, I have to write them down. I'll never remember them. So pray for these people. Pray for Larry. He sits right over here. He's in the hospital. And Sally, his wife, said he should be able to come home tomorrow, Tuesday. So pray for him. I know that Joan would love to be here. Pray for her. Faces that would love to be here that can't. All right. All minds, hearts, and clear.